the conversation now. Joining us is Cravania Pillay, Associate in Dispute Resolution at CDH, Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer, to fill us in on why businesses, in fact, have seen an uptake in suspect transactions, as well as to unpack the associated consequences. Cravania, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Has it been somewhat expected that in the era of COVID that there would be an increase in fraud and accounting irregularities? What have been some of the latest data coming out of financial intelligence?
Well, as history suggests, in any depressed economy, especially in the time of economic recession, instances of fraud and financial crime are set to increase. South Africa has been no exception in the present circumstances, and according to the Financial Intelligence Center's latest report, we have seen a drastic increase in the reported levels of financial crime and fraud in the 2018 and the 2019 year.
So if we've seen an increase in fraud, this is now prior to the pandemic, already in 2018 and 2019, and if you compare the 2 years and the survey results, is that there is an upward trend, which is a huge concern. And in the pandemic, the uncertainty, the panic, and of course the opportunity to fulfill these dodgy transactions, I suppose it's somewhat expected, Cravania.
Absolutely. And Benito, you'll know that prior to the pandemic, South Africa had been experiencing an economic recession, performed poorly for two quarters. So it's no surprise that going into the pandemic, we were already experiencing an upward trend. And thereafter, to be faced by a pandemic and to see a further increase in instances of fraud and financial crime.
And what are the consequences of being complicit in fraud and corruption?
Well, much like being the perpetrator of the offense itself, attempting or conspiring to commit an offense, such as aiding or abetting, may also result in criminal liability in South Africa in terms of the relevant legislation, which includes the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act. And this extends to other pieces of legislation. So you will be liable for other offenses such as racketeering and money laundering in addition to corruption.
It's quite interesting that you speak about these consequences around fraud and corruption, and this on the back of a conversation that I had earlier with Karen Moore, senior legal journalist, talking about some of the revelations coming out of state capture and just exactly the antithesis of what you're saying there, Cravania, just the lack of accountability. So it really is a problem. Do you think it's a problem that deserves a lot more attention than it has been receiving, not just around state capture, but overall around the transgressions in fraud?
Well, absolutely. I think in terms of global statistics and surveys, South Africa ranks quite highly in terms of its perceived levels of corruption, both in the public and private sector.
Yeah.
And so there definitely is a need for more attention being paid to it. And I think things like the commission that you mentioned and concerted efforts in the public sector are very necessary. Within the private sector, I think it's important for organizations to ensure that they create a culture that does not tolerate instances of fraud or corruption.
Yeah. Staying with the private sector, what measures then can business take to mitigate fraud?
Well, there are a few commonly used measures that are international best practice when it comes to enforcing existing anti-fraud controls or reinforcing existing measures. And this may include things like where you have well-resourced organizations implementing a whistleblower hotline. If, for instance, your organization is not as well-resourced, perhaps just creating a mechanism in which instances of unlawful activity can be reported. It also includes, depending on your sector, being sure to be vigilant for inconsistencies in client transactions, for instance, where large amounts of money are received in cash or large amounts of money are inconsistent with your particular client's profile, or even receiving funds from foreign or higher risk jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm. Does the, lastly, Kravanya, does the culture of a particular entity or business play a role in this? Because the obligation to report suspicious transactions is certainly one that cannot be discarded. Often, however, we've seen whistleblowers being poorly treated, but possibly in the private sector, in terms of a business and the business culture that promotes this kind of transparency, would you think it would be a lot more easy, if I can use easier, to be able somebody to report suspicious activity without fear of reprisals?
Absolutely, Benito. And I think you hit the nail on the head right there, is that it's well recognized in international anti-bribery and anti-corruption controls that having a tone at the top that promotes a culture where unlawful activity is both investigated, reported, where applicable, and also where avenues are created for reporting to take place, that these organizations really fare much better in preventing and mitigating instances of fraud. And so I cannot stress enough the importance of ethical leadership and governance at the senior management level of an organization as really central to the fight against fraud and corruption.
Kravanya Pillay, Associate in Dispute Resolution at the firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Kravanya, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.